Today on Real Radio.
Unbelief brings about judgment. Here's the amazing thing. You may not like this message. I don't like giving it. But I got to tell you something. If you die in this life filled with unbelief, I didn't put a gun to your head. I didn't put a sword to your neck. I didn't bend your arm. You will choose. It's your choice. Just know this. According to the Bible, so if you don't like that, prove it wrong. According to Jesus, if you don't like him, then you got to somehow get him back into the grave somehow. That ain't going to happen. If you don't like this, but understand this, this is what it says. If you like it or not, what it says, that unbelief is going to render a judgment to those who don't believe.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. Chapter 11 records accounts of those who believe in the Messiah as well as those who do not. Within the section of verses 27 through 32, Jesus has some blatantly strong words for those who don't believe but are simply looking for a sign. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Dangers of Unbelief.
Did you see how long it took me to say that? What is the gospel? Here we go. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. That took about 5 seconds. That's the gospel. You can even give that in an earthquake. You can give it to somebody who's dying on their hospital bed. Have we, Christian, I'm just talking to the believer, have we strayed so far from what we understand our God to want of people? Is there simple faith in him, not to join some club? Well, you know, it's too bad that you didn't live a life and become a member of our church. Are you crazy? That's not required of man. But to believe on the Lord, that's what's required of man. To run from unbelief and put your trust in Jesus, who loves you. There's nobody on this planet, nor ever shall be, who loves you more than Christ. Nobody. Jesus was announcing to them, as Jonah was to the Ninevites, I will be to you. And we know from antiquity that the generation, the population of those there in Nineveh came to trust in God. That's awesome. That's amazing and wonderful. But the gospel is very clear, very simple. Point number two this morning, verse 31. Point number two, the dangers of unbelief, it's this. Unbelief refuses evidence. It refuses the evidence. Unbelief is funny because it's there's no reason to it. Look at verse 31. This is a real historical person here, the Queen of the South. She came to see Solomon, the Queen of Sheba. You know her from the Old Testament. Will rise up in the day of judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. Why is she brought up like this? Why does Jesus bring her up? There's thousands of people from the Bible he could have brought up. Why her? You want to know why, first of all, the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, she was so impressed. And you can read about that, by the way. You can read about her in 1 Kings 10, but the evidence of others, that's what I want you to jot down. Unbelief refuses evidence and refuses the evidence of other people. Yet you operate, I operate under a judicial system that in the mouth of a witness, a person can be declared guilty or acquitted. Testimony. Unbelief won't listen to anybody, and unbelief won't listen to others. And in 1 Kings 10, this story is in detail, but the Queen of the South will rise up, Jesus said. This is amazing. Somehow, in some way, in that great final day of the judgment, when the unbelievers stand before God in the end, somehow she and the generation with the men of Nineveh, they're going to rise up and condemn that generation. Why? Why? What is going on? Keep this in mind, that she left her throne in the area of today would be Yemen. right on the peninsula. She would have left Yemen and traveled in her caravan from Yemen through Saudi Arabia, 1,000 miles. She would have come to Jerusalem to see Solomon. And she did. Why? Because the Bible tells us that she said this to him: King Solomon, I have been told the greatest things about you, that your wisdom and knowledge has come from the God of the Jews, the God of heaven above, and I want to know what's going on. And when she saw everything that God had done through him, she said, listen, the half what I was told, the half of it was spoken to me. This is amazing. She left her throne, traveled 1,000 miles on the back of a camel or donkey or something to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And what does Jesus say? A greater than Solomon is here. He said that in front of the people who knew this message. Unbelief refuses the witness, the testimony, the evidence of others. It's amazing. Look at verse 32, the evidence of one. Unbelief refuses the evidence of one. You say, what do you mean one? It says in verse 32, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. To hear. Didn't Jesus say earlier to that woman who said, blessed is the woman who bore you? Didn't Jesus say, no, it's better that you hear the word of God and do it. This woman, the queen of Sheba, the queen of the south, she came. And she listened. The evidence of one. See, what do you mean by that? Friends, listen. And this is, I hope, very empowering to all of us. If you know someone, or if someone asks of you, why are you a Christian? Or what makes you different? Or why do you own a Bible? Or if they ask you straight up, what's going on in your life? Listen, the evidence of one, that's you and I, tell them, well, you know what, seeing how you asked, this is who I am. This is what I was, and this is what I live for now. This is whom I live for now. Tell them. Now watch. They asked you about your life. Tell them. I'm not saying to you, make them believe. You can't. That's not our job. I'm not telling you to have them make a decision. That's not our job. The evidence of one. You and I soon will break up from this place and go our way. And you will have opportunity to tell people. And you just tell them the truth. Tell them about what God's done in your life. Unbelief will turn to you and say, I don't want to hear it. Well, I'm sorry, I thought you asked. I won't say. Unbelief will say, yeah, it worked for you, but... Unbelief will say, I don't discuss religion. Unbelief throws up everything to try to stop that. But my friend, at the end of the day, we are to force no one to make a decision. That's ridiculous. When people say, leave me alone, leave them alone. Just go and pray for them in private. But tell them what God has done for you. You guys, if you get a chance, read the book, The Light and the Glory. There's other writings. You can, by the way, you can go online and download the Mariner's Log, The Mariner's Log of Christopher Columbus. Now, watch this. Talk about belief, unbelief. How many of you have heard of Christopher Columbus? Raise your hand. Well, I got to ask these days. He's a real guy. But you got to read his writings to find out about the man. It'd be good to do that about Mozart, too, and Beethoven. Stop getting Hollywood's version of who these guys were. And unfortunately, oh brother, guard the doors. Get the car started. Don't use public school's version of who these people are either. I love public school teachers. They've just been infiltrated with revised history. In his own words, Christopher Columbus, you can download his log and read him day by day. Did you know Christopher Columbus? He had a mom and a dad. Yeah, it's true. In Spain. Did you know Christopher Columbus? Do you know how he got his name Christopher? He got his name before he was born. His mom and dad had a dream that they'd have a boy. They named him Christopher. Do you know what Christopher means? I'll give you a clue. Christ, Topher means to carry. The Christ bearer, that's what Christopher means, to carry Christ. If your name's Christopher, it means that you take or you bear Christ. His parents gave him the name. They believed that God had a plan for his life. He was brought up in the Bible. He had memorized much of the scriptures. He had an amazing prayer journal that he called the Book of Prophecies. You want to know why he called it the Book of Prophecies? Because Christopher Columbus said that's where God speaks to him. When he has his Bible open and when he prays, God speaks to him. And he wrote down verses from the Bible that led Christopher Columbus to believe that God had called him to take a mission of discovery to the world to find a new world to announce Christ. That's in Christopher Columbus's writings. When's the last time you heard that? You can go to his daily log and see how often he cried out to God. Why am I saying this? One person's evidence and God in their life can change the world. What about you? What about me? Thirdly, under this point, the evidence of Jesus Christ. Unbelief refuses evidence, and unbelief refuses the evidence of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus said in verse 31, a greater than Solomon is here. We don't get the magnitude of that. Jesus is telling these Jewish people, hey, wake up. What do you think of Solomon? Oh, he's son of David. Wow. The queen of the south even came to get his wisdom. Jesus said, hello, a greater than Solomon is standing here right now. The magnitude of that is huge. A greater. Jesus is making it very clear regarding this fact that they, standing before Christ Jesus, they were refusing the witness of the Bible. My friend, if you haven't heard this, jot it down. The Bible speaks about Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. No one in all of history has had a book written about them from cover to cover that is, listen, like the Bible, covering thousands and thousands of years. Number two, the works of Jesus Christ were not only foretold before he did them, before his birth, but he did them. And then the claims of Christ. Jesus claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no one comes to the Father but through me. And he turned right around and said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed, beaten, crucified, but on the third day be risen from the dead. Jesus said it. What does history say? It happened. And then what about his birth into the world? Angels filled the sky in Bethlehem. And it was reported among those who were there as they went out to be witnesses of the world what they saw. Look, I'm sure your mom and dad got excited when you came into the world, but I'm sure there are no angels singing songs as cute as you were. Point number three, and we end. It's in verse 32. The dangers of unbelief is this. Unbelief renders judgment. Unbelief brings about judgment. Here's the amazing thing. You may not like this message. I don't like giving it. But I got to tell you something. If you die in this life filled with unbelief, I didn't put a gun to your head. I didn't put a sword to your neck. I didn't bend your arm. You will choose. It's your choice. Just know this. According to the Bible, so if you don't like that, prove it wrong. According to Jesus, if you don't like him, then you got to somehow get him back into the grave somehow. That ain't going to happen. If you don't like this, but understand this, this is what it says. If you like it or not, it's what it says, that unbelief is going to render a judgment to those who don't believe. And so, verse 32 speaks to us about how this judgment is inescapable. It's an inescapable judgment to those who don't believe. You say, well, Jack, how can I be judged because I choose not to believe in it? That unbelief, remember what Webster says, and it's the same in the Greek, is to be informed of something but to suppress it or to refuse it. Look, every person struggles with doubt. Doubt is not unbelief. You're going to go get in your car today and hopefully, by the grace of God, turn on the air conditioner. You may doubt if it's going to work or not. But you don't have doubts that the air conditioner exists, do you? You know that he exists. Sometimes you're hit with doubt and it's, is he going to do that for me? Is he going to speak to me? We all go through doubt. Doubt is not unbelief. Unbelief is to say, he could be real. I think he maybe is real. I don't like him. And I'm going to refuse him. I'm going to reject him. I'm going to resist him. Just know this. Unbelief renders judgment. It's inescapable. Jesus said, verse 32, the men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. Notice, another set of human beings are going to rise up and say, what are you nuts? Are you crazy? We were a bunch of Ninevites worshiping fish gods. And this crazy Jewish guy came and delivered this message, and he didn't even give us an inkling of hope. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh's overthrown. But we were terrified and repented. We called out to God, and God spared us. These men are going to say, why didn't you believe? You had the Bible. You had CD-ROM. You could go online. You had radio, TV. You could have listened. You could have made a decision. But you remained in your unbelief. They're going to say, how could you? Can you imagine? Jesus said they will rise up. It's inescapable. It need not be, though. Listen to this. Second, under this point, verse 32, unbelief renders judgment in that it is an avoidable judgment, though. You say, well, that's contradictory. Oh, no. Look at A, it is an escapable judgment. You're not going to escape it. That is if you are filled with unbelief. But if you believe today, B comes into effect. A is removed. B comes into effect. It's an avoidable judgment. Christian, the church, listen, non-believer, atheist, right now, the Bible declares that all of us are under judgment until we come to faith in Jesus Christ. If I die today, hey, if that earthquake a moment ago was a doozy, and you died today, where would you have gone? Listen to this. When this body dies, this flesh, when it dies, you're going to go to my funeral or whatever Lisa decides to do with me. Probably put me in the backyard or something. No, she knows exactly what she's supposed to do. But, oh, poor Jack. Yeah. He's dead. Who's going to get his 67 Volkswagen? I'm not dead. I moved. I relocated. I left this carcass. This stinking carcass. This body's only a tool. The part that lives on forever is the spirit that's within you. That lives forever. Make it very clear. John chapter 5 says you will live in either hell or heaven. Your choice. It's your choice. Some of you are mad at me because I'm giving you that choice. You don't even like that. You don't want to. I don't want to think of that. Hey, look, if I die, the Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Man, when I die, roof caves in, splat. I'm standing before the Lord. I'm alive more than ever. Though my body may be here. Keep that in mind, because we will stand before the Lord either accepted because we've trusted the gospel message that he died for our sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead. And we'll stand before him accepted because of that. Or for one final judgment, all mankind who do not believe will stand before him. And they, in this life, they refused to receive the right answer. You ever seen a little kid who doesn't want to eat their lunch? That's what you've done to the gospel all your life. Don't do that anymore. It's an avoidable judgment. And then it's an unbiased judgment. Jesus said, a greater than Jonah is here. Unbiased. It's an unbiased judgment. And this is the part that's terrifying, church. You have the ability given to you by God this morning to make that decision. This morning you'll either vote for Jesus, yes, or vote for Jesus, no. In Colossians 2:13, it says, when we were all dead in our sins and in the uncircumcision of our sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code. That is all of the sin that you and I had committed. It says that Jesus canceled those things that were against us, opposing us. He took away, having nailed them to his cross. And he has disarmed the powers and the authorities that were against us and made a public spectacle of them, having triumphing over them by the power of his cross. Jesus did that. Jesus said a greater than Jonah's here. Church, listen, four verses and we're done. You can even close your Bible. Just listen. Just listen. We're wrapping up this message now. We're out of time, and that's a good thing. In Philippians 2:9, listen, vote, decide. Philippians 2:9, therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among man, that is mankind, whereby he must be saved. In Romans 10, verse 8. But what does the scripture say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. 1 Corinthians 6:1. We then, as workers together with Christ, plead with you, do not receive the grace of God in vain. That is, don't blow this message off. For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. That means God's listening. He's waiting right now. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. He brought you to hear the gospel. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Every time you hear the gospel, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. I know I've been yelling. I'm all excited about this. I may never see you again, but I want you to be in heaven. I'm not going to get paid extra if you raise your hand. No one's going to be snooping around and looking. Look, that guy raised his hand. Tackle him. Grab him. Grab him. Put a Bible in his mouth. No one's going to do that. Listen, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Number two, do you believe he was buried? That is, he died. Number three, do you believe that he rose from the dead in April 32 AD in Jerusalem? Jesus left an empty tomb there. Do you believe that?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called The Dangers of Unbelief. It's a look at Luke chapter 11 and verses 27 through 32, part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament gospel written by Luke, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, we just recently wrapped up Pastor Jack's series, When a Christian Prays. That's still available on CD for your contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. When a Christian Prays. Just ask for it by title. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. You can also give us a toll-free telephone call at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to send in that tax-deductible contribution the traditional way, here's our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.